Jim Wyatt joins us from TennesseeTitans.com. He's got a great article to sort of set the stage for tomorrow night's game. And he's got six things to watch when you go to TennesseeTitans.com. Jim, good to talk to you. Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, glad to be on. Hope you guys are doing well.
Absolutely. So, Jim, give us maybe your biggest thing that you think is significant from the two practices. I know one of the things that you pay close attention to in the controlled scrimmages against Tampa Bay, you were watching Ryan Tannehill close, and he did a good job in back-to-back practices.
Yeah, I think he kind of just continued what he's been doing in camp. I mean, he's been very, I think, accurate. I think he's made good decisions. He hasn't thrown a lot of interceptions. He's doing it with a bunch of guys he's not used to throwing to, and he's used to throwing to him by now, but you got to consider, you know, Robert Woods and Traylon Burks and Austin Hooper and Chika Okonkwo and Kyle Phillips. I mean, a lot of these guys who have been his targets are guys he's just working with for the first time. So I think he's been very effective. You know, yeah, I thought the Titans defense did a pretty solid job, but you got to take into consideration no Tom Brady, you know, a lot of their, you know, star players, you know. You know, Mike Evans made the trip, but he wasn't out there, and certainly Chris Godwin didn't do anything. And, you know, it's not the same Buccaneers offense that you'll see in the regular season, but defensively, that's a good team. And I thought the Titans moved the ball well against them in two-minute drills. I thought they did well with them in situational periods near the goal line. And I think Ryan Tannehill looked really sharp.
One of the things that I hear questioned all over the place when you hear national rankings and setting the table is when you overhaul your entire receiving core, which is pretty much the case, including tight end, there's a lot of question marks there. But it seems like when you're watching practice every day that each day Kyle Phillips and Traylon Burks, that they're doing well for what that's worth. We won't know what that's going to translate to. And Robert Woods and Nick Westbrook-Ikhina would be in there as well as new guys. Well, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina has been there. He's like the one guy that has been. But what are we looking for tomorrow with the receivers as they try to continue to take that step forward?
Well, I'll be curious just to see what they do. Man, I don't think Tannehill is playing again. I think you're going to see Malik Willis and Logan Woodside, and the question now becomes, you know, do they work with some of the front line guys instead of having, you know, the guys at the back end of the roster? And I shouldn't say back in the roster, but instead of, you know, in the regular season, I think you're going to see Robert Woods and Nick Westbrook-Ikhina and Traylon Burks, obviously, and Kyle Phillips out there a lot. I think, you know, at the start of the preseason game the other night, it was Race McMath and Des Fitzpatrick, and then you got, you know, guys like, you know, Roberson and Hollister didn't play last week. I think they'll play this week, but you got you know, the Mason Kinseys and the Terry Godwins pretty quick. So I'll be curious to see if some of those guys play a series or two. I think if assuming Burks plays, and, you know, the fact that he returned to practice on Thursday, I think was a good sign. I think they need to see more consistency from him. You know, that's one thing Mike Vrabel said, is he thought he was a little bit inconsistent. You know, since he said that, you know, people have been tweeting at me, mentioning me, you know, all these plays where Burks was running open, and if they'd have thrown in the ball, it might have been a different story. I'm sure some of that was going on, but the fact of the matter is coaches want to see a little bit more from him. So I think you'll see Burks take another step. You know, with Phillips is interesting because Phillips was one of the stars of the show these past 2 days, but he only played three offensive snaps against, you know, the Ravens last week, and maybe they take the same, you know, take the same strategy with him is, hey, we've seen enough of you. We don't want to throw you out there and run the risk of you getting hurt because you're going to be a factor for us this year. So I don't know how much he does. So it could turn into a situation where Race McMath is getting some time, and then you've got some guys on that are competing for that sixth spot in practice squad spots, and that's going to include Fitzpatrick and Hollister and Roberson and Kinsey and Godwin, because I think that's what it's going to turn into for sure in the second half.
Jim, do you think we'll see the same thing with Willis as we saw in Baltimore? Let him start the game, go into the second half a little bit, or maybe let Woodside, like, this is your last chance, Logan, see what you can do. I don't know. If I'm Mike Vrabel, I do it again with Willis. I want to see Willis at home and come out there and do that. What do you think is going to happen there?
Yeah, that's what I suspect will happen too, and I'm basing that off of what happened last week, and also the fact, you know, when Mike Vrabel was asked this week just why Logan Woodside's reps have been decreased so much, and he said it because we want to get a long look at Malik Willis and just see what he can do. You know, Logan Woodside's been around here for several years; he's gotten a lot of reps. We know what we've got in him, and now it's become a situation where they've got to see as much as Malik Willis as they possibly can. So I think that's what happened again on Saturday night. And I think with him, you want to see him work through some of the inconsistencies and some of the growing pains that he's been dealing with. Yes, he made some highlight real plays, you know, in Baltimore. You know, he had a 17-yard run. He had the sidearm throw. He reverses field and runs it in for a touchdown. Made a really good throw to Mason Kinsey at one point, but also he was guilty of holding the ball too long and relied on his legs too much. And he overthrew some guys, and it kind of frustrated the coaches. So they want to see him be better from the pocket, make some throws, and the only way you get better at doing that is by playing. So I expect him to get a good chunk of the work, I think with Woodside, I think they feel like they know him very well. He's got to avoid turning the ball over. I mean, it's kind of uncharacteristic to see him throw a couple picks because he's been pretty good when he's played in the preseason in the past, and now he's in a situation where he's just not getting a lot of reps, you know, in practices, and that's certainly going to impact the way he plays in games too.
All right, so this right tackle thing is about to drive me crazy. Can you just go out and find David Stewart and bring him back, Jim, and we're good to go? Can you do that for us?
I think Big Stewart's probably big country somewhere on the farm now. And, you know, sometimes I see these offensive, you know, tackles, you know, and they look like, you know, power forwards now or play the three position in basketball because they've lost so much weight. I mean, I saw Scott Sanders in recent. He looked like that. I saw Michael Roosh. He's thin down. I've seen Brad Hopkins bouncing around. I mean, all these linemen have lost a lot of weight. I don't know if Stu's done that because he's a big man. He's country strong. I doubt he's looking, looking like a thin down version of himself. But I think he's probably content with maybe working on the farm and maybe chewing a little tobacco.
All right. Do you think with that, you know, Raiden's got to start up there last week. Do you think Petit Frere gets his chance to go Saturday night? If they're going to evaluate these guys both equally, I think that's only fair.
Yeah, and I think Petit Frere has put himself in the conversation to potentially, you know, win the job. I went into camp feeling like Dylan Raiden's, it was his job to lose. Same thing with Aaron Brewer. Nothing's happened at left guard that's changed my mind there because Brewer's been steady. He's been that guy all the way through. Now Jamarco Jones has been sidelined, you know, this past week. He didn't work at all against the Bucks. I don't really expect him to play tomorrow night. So I think Aaron Brewer's got a pretty solid grasp on that left guard spot. Now right tackle, yeah, Raiden has worked there a bunch, but Petit Frere has been in the mix and he's getting more reps and he worked both sides last week. I would expect him to give him a longer look at right tackle and then really evaluate these guys, all the reps in practices, all the reps in games, and then try to get closer making the decision because, you know, we're not too far away. It's hard to believe, but you know, not too far away from starting to, you know, gear up for the season opener. You want to have those guys practicing together, you know, for a pretty good stretch for, you know, to get ready for the Giants. So maybe we're a week away from having a final decision there, but they need some final answers.
Jim, before we let you go, does Ryan Stonehouse have a realistic shot of winning the punter job from the veteran Brett Kern?
Well, that's an interesting one because, you know, Kern has been so reliable. I think he still got it. He showed it in the first game against the Ravens. He had back-to-back 52-yarders. You know, he has some things that Ryan Stonehouse does not, and that's experience. That's poise playing in big games. He's got a knuckleball punt. He's great at directional punting. But I'll tell you this, from the day Stonehouse showed up out there, I mean, this guy has hit some bombs. And hell, I watched him against Vanderbilt last year when they played Colorado State, and he punted one about 80 yards that day. And it just turns out the guy, he did a lot of punting that day because Vanderbilt's defense was pretty strong. But,
yeah, but, one of our better games. I remember it well.
but then, I mean, and then some people say, well, he's punting at the high altitude. Maybe that has something to do with it. Well, this guy has been bombing it. And you know, he's been so good, and he's now displayed in the game that they're in a situation now that if he gets cut, then somebody's probably going to, you know, somebody needs a punter, potentially could claim him. So they're in an interesting spot. I mean, I still think Kern has the edge, but, you know, Stonehouse has made himself a contender.
Hey, real quick, Jim, who was the punter that hit the scoreboard at Dallas Stadium that got cut from Kentucky? What was that guy's name?
I think it was A.J. Trapasso.
Yeah, Ohio State, yeah. Right?
Yes, and yeah, I think he was involved in a fake
Hall of Fame game. Well, but, yes.
So I think they're making some bets maybe in pregame about whether he could hit the scoreboard, and he did. He was a character, fun guy to be around.
Mm. It is something to watch for sure. Jim, great stuff. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the game tomorrow. We'll talk to you down the road.